directions on the news for Tuesday, July 3rd, 2007. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor of Directions Magazine, and I'm joined by my colleague Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief. This week, we'll be sharing our thoughts on geospatial companies we'd like to see. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. With ArcGIS Image Server, you can maximize the value of your imagery by processing and distributing it on the fly, enterprise-wide. Learn more about ArcGIS Image Server at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
What we want to explore today are some of the companies that don't yet exist in the geospatial marketplace, but ones that we think might make it if they did. And I want to start out talking about some data companies that do exist and maybe use that as a springboard to one that I'd like to see. In the past couple of weeks and months, we've heard an awful lot about Intermap, which makes 3D data, and we've heard an awful lot about immersive media, the folks who use vans to take 360-degree photographs as the van drives down the street. That data is now part of Google Street View. And those companies, well, we'd heard of them before, and a lot of folks in geospatial probably had. They really jumped on the scene when the likes of Google, in regards to immersive media, and Microsoft, in response to Intermap, found them and decided that that sort of data was going to help distinguish their web offerings. And I think there are some other potential companies like that down the road. Here's a description of the one I'd like to see, the one that I've been thinking about. I think we need to have a company that can figure out how to aggregate all of the different user-created geospatial data. And when I say user-created geospatial data, I'm thinking of everything from the backyard birder who's noting which birds fly into the yard to folks who put together bicycling routes or running routes. Now, a lot of the information is freely available on the web. It's available in different places, in different kinds of aggregations, in specialty sites, but there's still a challenge to get at it. And I think if somebody could aggregate that and then potentially sell it or make it available with advertising, they could actually make some money. What do you think, Joe? Would you invest in a company like that?
Yeah, I think there's nothing out there quite like that currently. There's nothing in terms of gathering what you might want to refer to as hyperlocal content and aggregate that to maybe a larger geography. If I'm very conversant in a particular area and I know my running routes or I know where the best deli is, that information really hasn't been aggregated very well. And whether you're in the consumer space looking for that hyper-local consumer-based information of the best restaurant or the best restaurant review, or whether I'm a local government, you know, who's trying to find data to add to my city services site, it just doesn't exist right now. And certainly, yeah, we're looking for that company that can do a better job of either gathering or searching on that local information.
Sort of one other part of that, too, and that's not just gathering and making it available, but some of this stuff will have to be validated. That's been a real question, and this came up in some of the blog posts you did about TomTom and its new tool called TomTom Share, where you can actually suggest changes to their geo database that you can either keep to yourself or share with other users. Now, exactly how that's going to be used by TomTom Corporate, we're not sure. At this point, we do know that that information is not going directly back to their data provider, which in this case is TeleAtlas. And the big question that's been posted to our blog is, well, who's going to check all that stuff? Who's going to make sure that those changes are correct? That's a big issue if you're going to be, for example, using data collected by somebody you don't know for example, where all the hydrants are in your city.
You could conceivably adopt the convention of a wiki, and people just put stuff out there and let the community validate it. Everybody has a chance to challenge whether that's a valid entry or not. And maybe everything in terms of if a company did that, you know, they launch a geographic area as a beta. Okay, this is just a beta geographic area with some local content. and people can, you know, bang on the site to say, well, yes, it's valid, no, it's not valid, here's an update. So there are models out there that could conceivably work in this case.
Okay, have you got some companies that you'd like to see?
I think the companies I would like to see have hyper-local information attached to them. And that's the way that we see a lot of even the mega portals going these days. Is, you know, we know how to do search very well, but we don't quite know how to tag something that's of a local nature that somebody is, you know, I always want to know my particular area. I want to know what's in, you know, a 1 to 3 mile radius of my site. So I would like to see that company that does a very good job of aggregating, you know, the basic local information. I want to see the restaurants. I want to see the biking paths. I want to see, you know, the pizza parlors. But if I'm a local government, I may also want to see where those fire hydrants are. I want to get a piece of data that has not been collected previously that I may want to add to my city services database. So there's lots of information out there that cities probably would like to have but don't currently aggregate just because of a cost basis. But somebody may be out there that is willing to do that.
Now, how would they gather that information? I mean, certainly from the pizza parlors and bike routes. I mean, those are out. People in the community know that information and could share it if they were incentivized to do so.
Yeah, that's the incentivized is probably the key word there. Are cities going to pay perhaps pennies, you know, to gather certain bits of information? And that may be what it is. Maybe that's your business model, is I'm willing to pay pennies to gather certain bits of information, maybe a few more pennies to gather more difficult to obtain information. So my business model essentially becomes I'm willing to spend my time gathering this information that's needed, but the city isn't going to burn the gasoline to go out and send a field rep out there to collect. So I don't know if the business model has been defined quite yet, but there could be ways to collect that data.
Right, it almost sounds like sort of micropayments, you know, for each location of a fire hydrant will pay you 2 cents or whatever.
Yeah, well, put somebody on a bike, and maybe they attach an immersive media camera to their helmet, and go out and collect some interesting data. They may filter the data, but riding a bicycle versus, taking a truck out there is going to be a lot more cost-effective.
Right, and I guess another cost-effective way to do that is not to send a vehicle out at all, but to take advantage of existing imagery and just pull out those features. And we were talking in the past recently about feature extraction, and it's unclear to me whether there's been an awful lot of money made by the companies who either provide those services or provide that software to do that kind of work.
That is, of course, one of the big things in the software industry, in particular the remote sensing software industry, is doing feature extraction and looking at an image and trying to pick out a particular feature to extract is probably not difficult. It's picking out that feature that's going to sell is the one that you want to get at. But since we're talking about something that could be gathered in the future, that is a tool that that companies may want to use and probably haven't explored fully.
Right. So it sounds like somebody sort of has to do the market research of what features different buyers are willing to buy and then figure out a way to get that information either by sending folks out on bikes or having software extract data out of satellite or aerial images. Or you could take that one step further and use something like Amazon's Mechanical Turk, which is a web-based solution where many individuals can do different kinds of things that the human brain does well that computers may not do well. And one of the uses of that in the past has been to have folks look at parts of images. This was after Jim Gray from Microsoft disappeared to see if they could find signs of his craft, his boat. So that's another tool that's been used a little bit, but that could be used more widely, I think.
I think, you know, we have to looking at it from the big picture standpoint, you can look at two different elements. One is we are at the very early stages of doing a lot of geographic content assimilation. This idea of local content, of local information, and how you organize it and extract it or gather it, we're just really at the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we think it's neat now that you get the Street View and Google and just look at how many features are out there at the Street View level. And the second level is we don't know how to sell all of this information that we gather. We're at the stage where we're just gathering the information. So when you look at it from the standpoint of where GIS was 30 years ago, yes, we're in a big data capture mode. CAD was big. Well, here we are 30 years down the road, and now we're extracting all of this local, very coming to the minute detail or detail of that is we don't know how to use yet. But taking it from the standpoint that we're in these early stages, there's just tons of local features that can be geographically referenced that we're capturing but don't really quite know how to make money at yet.
Right, and so, I think it's also some information that we aren't yet capturing. Something as simple and as valuable as how many people walk by the street corner every day? You could put a sensor up that could figure that out, you know, not identifying people individually, but just counting. For things like how many people could potentially see my billboard, or how many people walk by my restaurant, or this location that I might want to buy to put in a restaurant.
Well, I think you just hit the nail on the head there, which is you can capture all of this traffic information. If you're talking about one finite element of data, I want to know how many people walk by my store. You know, am I getting good visibility at that store? Should I put up more lighting to make my store more visible? Why aren't people coming by my store? Is it the egress and the ingress that's being affected by whatever? Maybe there's a fire hydrant in front of my store. There's one piece of data that a lot of people would buy. What's my traffic flow in front of my restaurant?
So a lot of options for the entrepreneurs out there, at least from our perspective. That's all the time we have to discuss this topic. Our sponsor, ESRI, who makes this podcast possible, wants you to know that GeoWeb 2007 will be held in Vancouver, British Columbia, from July 23rd to the 27th. ESRI invites listeners to visit ESRI in booth number 22 to learn more about the latest GIS solutions. You can learn more at www.esri.com/directionsmag. We invite you to contact us with your thoughts on today's topic or anything else at editors@directionsmag.com. And we invite you to visit the All Points blog to keep up to date on geospatial news. That's at allpointsblog.com. Thanks for joining us today for another Directions Media podcast, and be sure to tell a friend.